And one of the main insights she had was that, you know, at a time when most kind of, you know, left-wing labor activists really understood the working class and the proletariat as somebody who goes to work at a job every day for wages, her insight was, you know, if you focus on that as the working class, you're really missing a big part of the puzzle, which is that many people who work, you know, are actually doing that work in the homes, that is women. So this was her main insight. And so she went on to marry C.L.R. James. She went with him to Trinidad. She moved to London, you know, where she lived in this mixed race marriage where they were very involved in anti-racist political activities in London. And so when the second wave feminist movement came in 1970s, she was really ready for it. She'd been thinking about women's unpaid work for decades already. And for her, the women's movement was really just an extension of the working class politics that she had grown up with. The second character I focus on in my book is Mara Rosa de la Costa, who's pictured here. She was born a bit later than Selma James. She was born in the midst of World War II in Italy. She was born in Northeast Italy in a place called Treviso. And she grew up during a time of rapid industrialization in Italy. You know, this is a time when after World War II, the country was really trying to recover its economy. And you just saw, you know, a mass kind of wave of factories being built, particularly in the north of Italy. And what she could see from this was, you know, this rapid changes happening to her society, including rapid environmental degradation to the areas where she'd grown up, you know, the growth of monocrop agriculture and, you know, the pollution in the kind of Venice Lagoon near where she was from. And at the same time, she also was growing up in this post-Mussolini era that really emphasized the patriarchal nuclear family as the social norm. She was a brilliant student, an ambitious young woman, and yet as she got older, she found herself kind of coming up against the societal expectations that what she would do when she came of age would be to become a housewife. And she really rebelled against that expectation. So as a young woman, as a student at college in the 1960s, she participated, you know, in the student movement. She joined in with workers who were launching wildcat strikes in the factories across northern Italy. And she was joining with all of these activists that were talking about the working classes and rising up against the kinds of, you know, forms of exploitation that were growing up in this post-war movement. And she had a particular focus of her activism. You know, she talked about the social factory, which is the idea that, you know, there's this critique that as industrialization really changes the lives of workers, you know, the social factory, you know, suggests as a concept that it's not just workers whose lives are changed by the growth of new industries, but the lives of everybody who lives in that society. You know, that, you know, her insight was that if you're interested in workers and working class people, you can't just focus at what happens inside the factory. You have to imagine that the assembly line stretches all the way into a worker's home where someone is there cooking for him, you know, cleaning his clothes, caring for the environment, raising his children. So for her, thinking about that social factory, the assembly line that goes all the way into the home, that was where the real kind of struggle began.